Always fun to talk to a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we're about to do that.
Especially.
And not only is he in the Rock Hall of Fame, he's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, as I was saying a little while ago. This guy is one of the most prolific performers and composers of the past five decades. In fact, I think some people don't know some great records like Islands in the Stream with Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, Grease, Frankie Valli, all thanks to this man, Barry Gibb. And Barry, your many Chicago fans are excited about your upcoming May 27th show. Good to have you on the radio with us.
Yeah. Hi there.
Me too. Hi, Marianne. Hi, Bob. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. It's going to be it's a lot of fun.
It's kind of a family affair still, isn't it?
Yeah. Somehow that's how it's evolved. You know, my eldest son Stephen is an incredible guitarist and singer, and Sammy Morris's daughter. So it's but there's also there's like 13 people on stage, and it's a bit of a spectacle visually, as well as you'll see everything with regards to my brothers, the music itself. So you know, I'm having a wonderful time doing that.
Barry, what motivated you to continue performing in concert even after Robin's death?
Well, you know, I guess the forming an opinion of your own. I think when you lose so many brothers like that, I guess the lesson was seize life, you know, because tomorrow you have no idea about. So that was how it happened for me. I just had to get off the sofa and put the remote down and play the music I love, and that's it, you know, seize life.
Was it really hard to get off the sofa and throw away that remote?
Well, no, I still got it in my hand.
Oh,
yeah,
do you
first,
sleep with it?
It must have been at first very difficult.
Well, of course, you know. But when I look around me and I look at my family, I think the most the emotional difficulty really lies with Mum more than any of us. Losing my brothers is one thing; losing three children is another. So, you know, I have to adhere to her and try to keep her on the positive, you know.
Yeah, and she's,
but this is what happens to all families.
She's in her 90s, isn't she?
She's about 94.
Wow, and then there's also a sister, an older sister?
Leslie. She's 2 years older. She's the eldest. She lives in Australia and has, I think, about eight children, you know. She's been productive.
Yeah. You said after Robin died that you felt guilt, remorse, and regret. We can certainly understand the sadness, but why guilt, remorse, and regret?
Because I think when we all lose somebody, we think of all the things we could have said to each other we didn't say, you know. So a little bit of that, but you know, the subject of death, I think it's worn out for me now. I have to enjoy life, and I have to get on with it, and I have to support my mom and the rest of my family, and I don't think we'll ever get over it, but you know, I have to play the music.
Sure.
And that's it. You know,
you talk about living the life in the glare of the public spotlight. What has that been for you, like for you and for your family? And how do you compare it? I've heard you talking about Justin Bieber about this topic.
Yeah, well, I suppose if you're all brothers and the idea of fame hits the family, no matter how hard we work, we didn't expect that kind of glare, you know. So that becomes, after a while, a little intrusive, and your life, it changes your life. And I just would love to see that kid realize what it looks like from everybody else, you know, and he could be doing so much good, and he could be relating to young ladies so much better than he is doing. But, you know, I've seen it all before, so, and with a lot of other artists apart from my brothers. So, yeah, it's fame. You don't get fame. Fame gets you, and you don't have much control over what's going on. All what people say, you know.
Right. Another famous singing family brother, Michael Jackson, once spent a week or so with you and your wife in your Miami home. What was that like, and what was he like?
Well, he was actually a very sweet guy, and you know, he did have the habit of watching television in full stage dress. And
he did?
You know,
really?
Very eccentric. Yeah.
He always dressed like he was doing a show?
Yeah, in the Victory Tour days, yes, and I know why now, because he needed to stay in the role.
Huh.
He needed to be Michael Jackson. once again, fame takes you, and you go along with it because you're actually enjoying it. And I think over the years, Michael sort of lost the enjoyment. And the attention will drive you crazy, too. So I think that kind of attention, he was happy here in the house on a number of occasions. So, you know, he always knew that here he could find something to relate to.
As somebody who's been performing all his life, is it possible to continue when you've lost that enjoyment?
No. It's about writing songs, and I don't think I'll ever lose that feeling of wanting to do that. I still record in my home, and I still hope to put an album out at some point after the live shows. So I don't think that hasn't gone for me. I love the instant gratification of an audience. I love that. You know, you can take a year to make a record. It used to be a week. Paul McCartney told me that the first album took a week. Huh. You know, that's unbelievable. So now I've gone back to analog, and I'm sort of I'm thinking of it in terms of how Paul thinks of it. You know, you've got to keep going. What else are you going to do? That was his comment.
That's what you do. Yeah.
Do you have a close relationship with him?
I think I do now. I've only spent about two different occasions talking to him, but we both have the same stories, and of course they had the tiger by the tail. They had the whole industry, you know, and they made such an impact that it's still unbelievable, you know. But I love talking to him, and we spent an hour or so just chatting about the 60s and the people that we knew at that point. So yeah, I think we're a little closer. We didn't really know each other, but we met in 1967, and we hadn't met since. So, yeah, that was great, and I cherish that friendship, you know.
What was your reaction to Saturday Night Live's Barry Gibb talk show the first time you saw it?
A little puzzled, because I knew that wasn't me. But I think we can all be that way, but it isn't really me at all. And Robin, they've got the opposite. Robin was much more verbal than anyone realizes, and had a much worse temper than me. So, the second time I saw it, my daughter loved it, and her friends love it, and I started to see the humorous side of it. And Jimmy's probably one of the most gifted people in the world. So it's a pleasure to watch him anyway.
Jimmy Fallon.
But yeah.
And then you went on with Fallon and Company, didn't you?
Yeah, and Justin Timberlake. Yeah, that's great. A great company, you know. Spelled my name right.
Barry, many of us were huge fans of the Bee Gees before Saturday Night Fever. How was it to all of a sudden be a disco band?
Well, you know, fortunately, we never quite saw ourselves as a disco band, so it was all, once again, what people say and what people, how people gossip and how they form opinions. But we were having time of our lives, so I can never look on those times as anything but wonderful, you know. We were never as close as that before or after, so it was wonderful. I don't have any regrets about it at all. You know, we had a wonderful time. We had six number ones in a row, and you know, you can't ask for more than that.
Well, listen, we were talking about this earlier. The records, the music, so great. And I have so many favorites that wrote. Dionne Warwick, Heartbreaker, I can listen to over and over and over again.
Wow. Are you crazy?
Yes, I am crazy, but that's besides the point. Barry Gibb will be at the United Center May 27th, the Mythology Tour.
Yes.
And tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com.
You say you want to work or are working on your next album after you stop these tours.
Yeah.
Are you still into, do you feel like the direction that your music has gone into has changed at all, you know, or is
yes,
it the
of course
same?
It has. Of course it has. And you know, when that period came around, our music had changed then. So before that, we weren't making records like that. We just came to America to be Americanized, you know, because in England, everything was really, psychedelic. And mm-hmm. and we had to get away from that influence, and we loved American records. So that's how that came about. But how this comes about now is the various inspirations that are affecting me right now, which is Lorde, the young lady that was on the Grammys, Bruno Mars, who I think is fantastic. So there's different things that influence you over the years.
Wow, I'm really now dying to hear your new music. If you're being influenced by Lorde and Bruno Mars, that is awesome. Barry Gibb, wow.
Yeah.
And it's always a pleasure to see young artists actually break through, and so I'm sort of enjoying that. I'm sort of in the audience as well.
Well, we can't wait to be in the audience May 27th at the United Center. I was on LS back in the 70s, and last time I saw you with the Bee Gees concert at Washington Park here in Chicago.
Right.
So it's been a while.
You
know what?
Yeah.
Before we let Barry Gibb go, I wonder if he can identify the mystery song we played. We just gave away some tickets to somebody who identified this song just from the 2 seconds we played it. Should we see if Barry can win the contest?
All right. Long shot.
Listen closely. Barry, here it is. What's that song?
Either Massachusetts or I suppose.
You win. It's Massachusetts. Congratulations. You get a couple of tickets to the show.
Yeah.
All the best to you, and everybody in Chicago is going to be very happy to see you.
Thank you.
May
27th.
So
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
See you down the road.